Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How does a man born in the Gaza Strip, trained as a sniper and assassin to kill Jews, encounter the Lord Jesus Christ and become a born-again believer? This is the story of Tass Abu Saada. Tass traveled to Syria and joined Yasser Arafat's PLO Fatah forces. That and other things that he has encountered, seen, and done that emphasize the marvelous grace of God. We pause at the beginning of our program to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show is to lead you closer and closer to Jesus Christ, the same Christ who has touched the heart of Tass Saada. You'll hear the way that God reaches down to those who some or many may think are so far away from God that they cannot be saved. Have you ever thought that? This question, you ever had that question? This testimony today, this story, will remind you that one cannot go beyond the grace and mercy of God. And so today, it's a reminder for you, wherever you are, however far you think you might be, that there is always hope in Jesus. In Jesus who loves you as he's loved Tass, loves you so much. He died on the cross for your sins. Jesus shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And the living Christ, oh, the living Christ is calling you today. Will you turn your heart to him? Will you open your heart and receive him as your Savior and Lord? That's our prayer, my friend. Tass Saada is the founder of Seeds of Hope. He tells the story of his life in his book, Once an Arafat Man, and delves into the history and recent phenomenon of random terror activity, giving a possible solution in The Mind of Terror, the title of his book. Both available at Amazon.com. Tass and Karen, his wife, take the message of Jesus to the people he once hated, the Jews and Arab Christians, and to his former brethren, the Muslims. This is a pre-recorded interview. Now, open your heart. Take in what the Lord has to say through Tass Saada. Tass, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, and the state of Qatar as a Palestinian immigrant and refugee.
Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
In my growing up years, my father, of course, has been the most impact influence on me. And until I came to America and met an American who's become like a father to me, and he become the influence eventually to lead me to the Lord.
Hmm. What supernatural experience did you have that led you to becoming a Christian?
I would say from the beginning, the relationship with Charlie and the fact of me being able to come to America is really a miracle by itself. Because I hated America and Americans just as much as I hated the Jews and Israel. But yet I was so drawn to come to America. And then when I made it, the American people were so kind and so accepting me, and it totally changed my mind. And then I met Charlie, a young American, who was my first customer as a bus boy working at a French restaurant. I went to take his dirty dish away, and my hands were so shaky. I was so nervous. It was my first experience in doing something like that. Charlie noticed, and he looked at me with such a beautiful smile and thanked me for taking his dirty dish away. I really believe that's the beginning of supernatural experience and a relationship that the Lord began to orchestrate between me and Charlie for 19 years. Mm. Without him saying anything to me about his God. Until 19 years later, after I grew in the restaurant business and hotel business and become very successful, the owners of the French restaurant where I started working there as a dishwasher and then a busboy called me to sell their restaurant to us. So I went back to look into that and wanted to buy our own building. It was in a rental property, so we were looking for a building. And here's another supernatural experience that began the process even closer. Charlie came to tell me about a restaurant, that I should go to look at. That building I went to just 3 days before. And that building was an old funeral home that shut down. So for me to go into, as a Muslim, to go into a funeral home where they fixed dead people in it, was a scary experience. For me, I physically ran out of there. So when Charlie told me about the place, I said, Charlie, I was there just 3 days ago in the same building. And when I walked in there, I feel demons and ghosts all over the place. He laughed at me. And then he said, Tosh, you know why you're scared like that? I said, no, why? He said, because you don't have the fear of God in you. It shocked me. I said, Charlie, I'm a Muslim. I fear God. He said, no, you don't, but not to worry, he said. I can help you. And I can help you, I can fix it. And then he points his finger to the sky and he says, I have connection. I laughed at him and walked away. But that word connection just took me over. I could not think of anything. For the next 3 weeks, I'm just desperately wanting to know what is this connection. And every time I called Charlie, he would say, you're not quite ready yet. Till I got to the point where I could not eat, I could not sleep. Oh. I used to smoke. I went up to 6 packets of cigarettes a day. That's a supernatural experience. Finally, Charlie decides to tell me about his connection. So he takes me to his house and he asked me about Jesus, if I know Jesus. I said, of course I know Jesus. We believe in him. He's a prophet. He said, well, he's more than a prophet. I said, what is he? He said, he's the Son of God. He's God. I jumped off that sofa and I said, Charlie, that is a blasphemy. I don't believe in this. I'm leaving. And I was running towards the door.
You were offended.
Charlie just yelled at me and he said, Tosh, calm down. You're so worked up. Sit down. Give me a minute. Wow. So I went back, sat down. He went and brought a Bible. He sat his Bible right next to me, so close to my thigh, I jumped away from it. That is a supernatural. Why did I jump away from that Bible? When we as Muslims really don't believe this Bible is valid as the Word of God. Charlie said, why did you jump like that? I said, I can't touch that. He said, why? It's just a piece of paper. I said, no, it's got the Word of God and the name of God in it. he was surprised, and he said, "So you believe this is the word of God?" I said, "Yes." Why did I say yes when we don't
believe? Well, it's a moment where a lot of emotions are going on in Tas Sada's mind and heart and spirit. Well, something is definitely taking place, and it's going to have a profound effect on his life. It's an effect, an experience, an existential moment that comes, that transforms him.
I'm wondering, Danny, if our listeners are shaking their heads like I am. I'm just sitting here shaking my head as he's telling this story.
Well, when we come back, he'll share what took place. Here's the thing, Suzanne. We talk about experiences. We talk about moments where God touches people, supernatural experiences, when someone comes to know the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it is always that. It's always a work of God's marvelous grace. Today, someone listening may be thinking, it sounds like a movie. It sounds like these things happen to others. Suzanne, what would you say when someone reflects in that fashion? Does God still work in people's lives even when they might not expect God to move?
Oh, so completely. Absolutely. And what I'm hearing with his story is, in this case, he worked through one word, connection. And Taz just couldn't get away from that for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Just one word. So, yes, he's working. And when it becomes supernatural, we can't get away from it. And we need to recognize it.
Well, the Lord may very well be reaching someone today as we share, as we talk, as they listen, as they engage. And if it's you, my friend, well, when we come back, you'll hear more of what Tas experienced at that time. But as Suzanne explained, the Lord is reaching out to us, reaching us, connecting with us. Talk about connection again. Mm-hmm. But it's a loving connection that is that has the impact of change. You say, "Danny, I don't want change. Things are going well." Or, "Danny, I want change. I really want change. But I don't really want it in that way or this way." Well, there comes a point where as the Lord intervenes, we begin to surrender to Him. And there's a unique peace, a peace that passes understanding, that takes over our hearts and our lives. And then we surrender to what God is doing. And He moves us from there. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
After growing up weary of refugee life, Tas Ada, his parents immigrated to Saudi Arabia, where he was raised a Muslim. He was taught to hate Jews. After the Israeli victory over the Arabs in 1967, his desire to return and fight to redeem the Arab pride boiled over. Tas Saada is our guest today. It's a pre-recorded show. You're listening to the Good Life Radio program. Maybe you tuned in, you caught the tail end of the last segment. Wow, we're going to get back to that in just a moment. Or maybe you're tuning in right now. You can get this program in its entirety for free, a free gift to you. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and get it. Share it with a family member or friend. Find out more about Tas and his ministry at hopeforishmael.org. Hopeforishmael.org. Now, we come back to our pre-recorded interview with Tas Saada.
Why did I jump away from that Bible when we as Muslims really don't believe this Bible is valid as the Word of God? Charlie said, why did you jump like that? I said, I can't touch that. He said, why? It's just a piece of paper. I said, no, it's got the Word of God and the name of God in it. He was surprised and he said, so you believe this is the Word of God? I said, yes. Why did I say yes when we don't really believe that? Naturally, the Holy Spirit took over. Charlie said, okay, if you believe this is the Word of God, let me read to you what it says about Jesus. I said, go ahead. So I took the Bible and he opened. It was a brand new Bible. It had no marking or anything. And he opened, and it opened to the book of John. And he began to read to me from John 1:1. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God in the beginning. That's as far as I heard him reading. I started shaking. I lost conscience. And the next I know, I'm on my knees on the floor with my hands lifted up, inviting Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. The Word of God became alive and took me over. I'm looking at Charlie, and he's shaking and crying and I said, Charlie, what's the matter? What happened? He said, man, I've never seen anything like this in my life. It looked weird, but I like it anyway. And he came down and he hugged me. And then he said, when he started reading the word to me, he said, you started shaking violently. Then it looked like you were unconscious. You were taken off the sofa in the air. And then you looked like you were fighting something. Then you are brought down to your knees and your hands were lifted up. And he said, you started speaking in a language. He said, I didn't know what you were saying. It was not English. I was speaking to a light, a very powerful light that was saying to me, I am Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no other way to the Father except through me. And from that point on, my life was never the same again. I instantly believed he is the Son of God, and he's God. So, praise God.
Taz, some more background. you came. You said you came to America. You worked as a bus boy. That's how you met Charlie, 19 years before. Taz, what was your life like before that? Before coming to America.
As a Palestinian growing up in the, I was born in the Gaza Strip. And at the age of 2 months old, my family immigrated to Saudi Arabia. Our homeland is not really in the Gaza Strip. Our homeland is in Jaffa, near Tel Aviv. But my family left their home in Jaffa in 1948, right before the war, and went to Gaza to escape the war. And as everybody knows, we lost the war, and my family was stuck in Gaza. So 1951, I was born, and 2 months later, we immigrated to Saudi Arabia. So I grew up there in Saudi Arabia until the age of 10 years old. And then my family immigrated again to the state of Qatar. I was angry. I was frustrated. Everybody's calling me a Palestinian immigrant and refugee. And I couldn't understand, why am I an immigrant and refugee? I'm a son of Ishmael, just like they are. So when we lost the 67 war, I decided, that's it. I'm not gonna sit around and wait. Those Arab leaders are wicked, and they're selling us out to the Jews. I'm gonna go fight. So I ran away from home because my father didn't want me to join Yasser Arafat forces. I ran away and joined Yasser Arafat forces in Jordan and was trained and as a fighter, and the anger and that hatred that I had towards Israel and the Jews was so powerful that my leaders noticed that my skills and my leadership skills, and they kept promoting me, and eventually I was trained as an assassin. And when I started doing assassination work, that began to be painful to me because I get to study the life of the victims and get to know them more than they know themselves. That's when I decided I want to get my education and maybe I can fight Israel and the Jews with my brain instead of my weapons. And that's when I made it to America.
Describe for us the world of Yasser Arafat.
Yasser Arafat, you know, in those days, at that time, before I came to know Jesus, he was my hero. He was a man that devoted his life to the Palestinian cause and fought for it and taught us how to fight. He was a fair man. He was he loved his people so much that he devoted all of his life. Yasser Arafat was not poor. He had a lot of money. He had that he started Fatah organization with, and then eventually, after the Al-Karama battle, and we won the battle against Israel, we become very famous, and all the other nations began to support his work. Until he died in 2004, I was with him in 2004, right before he died. He passed away in November. I was with him 5 months earlier. And he didn't look like he was going to die. He didn't look at all like he was dying. Something happened. But I went there, you know, just I've not seen him for 35 years, and I wanted to, sorry, not 35 years. 35 years. And I wanted to go to witness to him, to share about my transformation. He remembered me, of course. He reminded me of things that I even forgot. Things that I've done out of order that he had to discipline me for. And so when I came to know Jesus, I began to understand the truth about Israel and the land of Israel. And naturally, my feelings towards Israel began to change, and realized that I have a calling to bring healing and reconciliation between Arabs and Jews, or at least Palestinians and Israelis. And so that's what we are doing today. Mm-hmm. That's my calling. I love Israel. I love the Jews. I stand for their right to be, for their land to be, for Israel to be their land. I stand for that because that's what God did.
How do you answer those, communicate with those, Taz, who are Palestinians, and they feel otherwise? How do you communicate with them about your new position?
It's not easy, naturally. I have to be wise and I have to be careful. And it's not very easy to explain because of the fact that most of them don't understand the Bible, don't know the Bible, not don't understand. They don't know it, period. And so I have to walk a very fine line and just to wait the opportunities to be able to share with them. The fact is, yes, the Lord gave the land to Israel, to the Jews, the land of Israel to the Jews. That's a fact. But God also is a just God. He also gave us the right to be part of that nation, not as Palestine, but as Israel. You know, in Ezekiel 47, if you go to that chapter, in Ezekiel 47, that's a chapter where the Lord redivided the land among the tribes of Israel. And at the end of that chapter, in the 21st verse through the end, the Lord said to the prophet Ezekiel to tell the Israelites to give an equal share of the land to the foreigners living among the tribes of Israel and to treat them as equal Israelites. So God knew this was going to happen. It's not a surprise to him. And so he made a way. The challenge that we have right now is, you know, the Jews themselves, 97%, don't believe in the existence of God. And you've got the Arabs on the other side, the Palestinians, who are mostly Muslims, also 98% Muslims. They don't believe in the Bible and the right of the Jews to the land. And so politically speaking, it is a very mixed round of people. And we as the followers...
Taz Saada explaining, sharing about a very tough political issue. A spiritual matter, really, and he's in the middle of it. And you're listening to the Good Life radio program. When we come back, more from Taz and a few more thoughts from Suzanne Maurer and me. But thank you for being with us today. You know, Taz is the founder of Hope. You can find out more about his ministry at hopeforishmael.org. Again, that's hopeforishmael.org. You say, Danny, this is a heated discussion. Well, when we talk about two-state solution, whether Taz believes in that, whether the promised land is supposed to be, you know, divided, or as he has said, the Palestinians are to be there, but it's the land of Israel. Tough, hot issue indeed, and Taz will share more when we come back.
Road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Yamashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Yamashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
It was a supernatural encounter with God there in the living room of his friend Charlie. And his life was never the same. I'm speaking about Tas Sada when he came to America. But his life before coming to America was one of violence, was one of tension, was one where today he speaks forth in a different way about a people that he once hated. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer, my co-host. Tas Sada, in this pre-recorded interview, you can find out more about him. He's the founder of Seeds of Hope, a ministry that he'll share a bit more about. You can find out more about him and his ministry at hopeforishmael.org. And now we go back to this pre-recorded interview with Tas Sada.
And so politically speaking, it is a very mixed round of people. And we, as the followers of Jesus, are the ones to bring that peace. Jesus said in Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So God is calling us, the followers of Jesus, to be the peacemakers and to bring that healing and reconciliation between the two.
Mm. Tas, what is...
You know, to be a peacemaker, you cannot really take sides. You have to be in the center.
So give us more understanding. Share with us, what's at the heart of a Palestinian refugee?
The Palestinians are victims of politics. The politics of the Palestinian leadership, the politics of Israeli leadership, the politics of the Arab leadership. The Palestinian people are being used as a card for influence and gaining personal gains. And the little people are lost in the middle and being treated like a garbage and not given any rights. There are Palestinians living in the Arab countries. Until today, you know, my family have been living in Qatar, for example, in Saudi Arabia, since 1951. Until today, they cannot have a citizenship in that nation. I come to America, and within 3 years or 5 years, I become a citizen of this nation, America. And so the Palestinian people are abused on both sides, Israelis and Arabs, in the same thing. And the Palestinians, you know, because of hopelessness, sometimes they result into terrorism. Mm-hmm. What is called terrorism, actually, it should be called freedom fighters. When I went to fight for Yasser Arafat, I did not go to fight because I had an Islamic ideology. I just wanted a homeland. And that's what most of the Palestinians in the land, they just want to have freedom and homeland to have a better life and a decent life for their families in that country. But that even is not given to them. And so, you know, until there is just in this world, until God bring justice, you know, I still have a hope that there will be peace sometimes. But I guarantee you, Donald Trump is not going to do it. Obama before him did not do it. Clinton did not do it. Many other good leaders who tried to bring healing or to bring peace failed because they always address this issue as a political conflict. It is not a political conflict. It's a spiritual conflict in its roots. I wrote a book, Once an Arafat Man, and in that book, I gave details of the roots of the conflict that is raging continuously. Most people in the world, including the church, they don't realize that the conflict between Arabs and Jews goes back 4,200 years. It's not something that just started in 1948. And so until we address that root until the church wakes up and see their responsibility to be the peacemakers instead of taking one side or the other, then we might see some solutions. But the politics is not going to work.
Give us a glimpse. What is the mind of terror?
I wrote that book really in order to help the church. I having been on the other side of the fence, I see and understand what is going on and the reasons for people resulting into terrorism. And I thought maybe I need to help the church to understand how to reach out to their neighbors, the Muslim neighbors. You know, they are coming all over the world. They are coming out, the Muslims coming out to nations. And they are not all terrorism. You know, they are not all terrorists. Most of them are people who want to have a decent life. But we need to know how to reach out to them. So I decided to write a book to help the people how to reach out to your Muslim neighbor in love and respect. And as just like Charlie treated me, he treated me with equal respect and love. For 43 years, Charlie have done nothing but loving me and respected me until he passed away this last February. That's how Charlie won me to Christ. And that's how we're going to reach Muslims to Christ They are open. Their hearts are open. They see what Islam is doing. They see it. They're not blind. They're just needing somebody who really loves them and accept them to open up and begin to ask questions. And so the book, The Mind of Terror, is focused on that, and I hope every Christian will take a copy to read that, to learn how to build relationship with their neighbors. I would recommend it very highly.
Tas, how did you meet Karen, your wife?
Karen? That's a very good question. Karen, amazing woman. My intentions were really very not honorable. I wanted to find an American woman because I was told, I asked some of my friends what would be the best way to stay in America. They told me to marry an American girl. I said, that's easy, that's no problem. So I went hunting for an American girl. I went to a nightclub in Kansas City. And the minute I walked into the club, my eyes just zoomed on Karen. And I thought to myself, that's my girl. Or my victim, depends on how she behaved. So I went to her and asked her for a dance. She said no, the first time. I went back to her the second time. She said no again. I thought to myself, this girl must be blind or something. You know, I was really a good-looking guy, and she didn't care. So I went back to my table, and I thought, I'm going to find another one. But I had a friend with me that challenged me. He said, I bet you'll never get her. I said, you're on. That made me stubborn. You're on. See, I didn't speak English at the time even. Very, very little English. So I went back to her, and I went almost to my knees by her table, and I said, me like music, please dance. She looked at me and I could tell she felt sorry for me. And she came and danced and I got her phone number eventually. And I started calling her. Every day for 3 days I'm calling. And she will talk for 3 and 4 hours. And I did not understand 95% of what she was saying. Until after 3 days, I had a friend of mine write it on my hand, how to propose. She talked for 4 hours that day, and then after she finished talking, I said, please marry me.
Yeah, please marry me. Did you hear that just before we went down, Suzanne?
I did.
I know you love, especially love these parts of our program when we ask that question about the husband-wife relationship. Your takes so far as we listen to Tas sharing, of course, personal life, but even his perspective on terror or freedom fighting, as he would say.
Well, I want to go back, Danny, to I feel like we're listening, for those who know the Word of God, to a modern-day Saul story. Mm-hmm. This is like the story of Saul, who was killing and just trying to destroy anyone that was believing in Jesus. And then, of course, he's blinded on the road and becomes Paul. So to me, it's a story similar to that, just absolute life-changing transformation. But then he took me to Ezekiel, and during the break, I went to Ezekiel 47, and that gives me a new perspective on this whole conflict that we have right there in the Word of God. But love conquers all, and that's what I'm hearing him say. Love conquers all.
You mentioned, for those who know the Word of God that are listening, and what about for someone who doesn't know the Word? Someone who's listening, hearing, has been captivated for some reason in listening to Tas, a word for them.
Well, I want them to get a hold of the Word of God. I want them to get a Bible and start in that New Testament and find out, what am I talking about? The story of Saul, who becomes Paul. And then when you're ready, get into the Old Testament. I'm stirring their curiosity. Mm-hmm. What is she talking about in the Bible? But the emphasis is on the word love. And I'm inspired now to get his book. I want to read more about how do we reach out to Muslims. They're going to be more and more in our community, and we need to know how to love them. Love them into the kingdom.
Suzanne Maurer sharing her heart with you, dear friend, and Tess Sada, our guest today. When we come back from our break in our final segment, more heart-to-heart, Tess sharing his story that is movie-like.
It should be.
and yes, like Saul of Tarsus becoming Paul, encountering Jesus. My friend, today you can encounter Jesus as well. Don't take light of it that we are here today and that you are listening to this program at this moment. The Lord, in all his marvelous planning, has destined for this moment to occur. You say, Danny, you don't quite know exactly where I'm at in life. I'm a bit unstable. I'm a bit off balance. I don't have my finances in order. I don't have my relationships in order. I'm struggling on the inside. Well, that is just the time, just the time. The Lord Jesus comes, the rock of Christ, the one who brings stability into our lives, reaches out to you, to me, to us. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, for someone who has seen the ugliness of life, the dark side of life, who's been in it, who's been a part of it, and who has been rescued from it by the grace of God, well, then you live life differently. You know what life is about. You know what the spiritual forces are that exist. You don't doubt that. And you know the grace and the freedom and the love and mercy that is found in Jesus Christ. I'm speaking of none other than Tas Saada, as he's been sharing with us in this pre-recorded interview. Now, he has gone on to start a ministry, and you can find out more about that ministry, hopeforishmael.org. He'll share some as we go into our final segment. Open your heart and see what the Lord speaks to you, shares with you in this interview with Tas Saada.
She talked for 4 hours that day, and then after she finished talking, I said, "Please marry me." She was quiet. I said, "Please marry me." She said, "Man, you're crazy. I just met you 3 days ago." I said, "It's okay. It's okay. Marry me." Of course, she didn't agree, but I didn't give up. Kept after her until eventually, by October of 1974, we got married. Just celebrated the 43rd anniversary. That's when I thought I was just going to be married for a couple of years and then say goodbye when I get my papers. But thank God he had better plans than mine. He's still my wife. I'm proud of it, too.
43 years. Well, congratulations on your anniversary.
Thank you.
Tas, why did you and Karen start the organization, Hope for Ishmael?
Hope for Ishmael was the beginning because I wanted to deal with the hope of the Ishmael people. The Ishmaelites are the Arab people. And I want to bring hope for them, and that hope is through Jesus Christ. And we went to Gaza in 2006. We worked there for a couple of years, and Hamas realized who I was, and they really came and destroyed everything we started. Luckily, we were out of the country at the time. So we went to Jericho. And when we went to Jericho, and I was really complex. I thought the Lord called us. I thought I made a mistake. The Lord, did I make a mistake? Did not I hear you right to calling me to, and Karen to Gaza? And the Lord spoke to me so clearly and said, "Be as innocent as a dove and as wise as a serpent." And that's when we started another organization called Seeds of Hope. And Seeds of Hope is a humanitarian aid organization, bringing hope and healing to the Palestinian people in Jericho and in the West Bank. And the goal is really to build a bridge of peace towards Israel and the Jews, and to raise up a new generation with a new hope. These children, we have schools for children, from daycare, from 3 months old to 6 years old. So we try to raise them, to give them a new hope instead of the anger and hatred that they grew up with. And so, praise the Lord, it's working. And we're helping hundreds, if not thousands, of people in Jericho that just love what we are doing there. They love what Jesus is doing for them. Naturally, we cannot tell them, teach them the Bible, but we can live the Bible in front of them. And that's when they come to ask us questions. And when they ask, we're not shy to tell them. It's Jesus. It's not us. Now it's working. Praise the Lord.
Are you open? Are you available for someone who is available, who may want to volunteer or sponsor a child or possibly donate?
Oh, yes. Danny, this is one of the key ways we can help turning the hearts of people is volunteers. Volunteers are angels. Part of my testimony when Jesus was speaking to me in a form of a light next to him, there was two hands in the air in a form of a prayer. And on the left hand, on the back of it, there was the cross tattooed. And when I saw those hands, I knew exactly whose hands were those. Those were the hands of my nanny when I was 7 to 10 years old in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. Her name was Maryam. Maryam loved me so much and cared for me. The Lord was showing me her hand to remind me that he sent me an angel to plant a seed of hope in my heart. And when she was sent home by my father, when I was 10 years old, my father sent her home back to the Philippines. She continued to water that seed with her prayers. And so the volunteers are those angels that the Lord sends into Jericho and to our schools in Jerusalem, too. We have schools in Jerusalem where we have Arab and Jewish children together. Those volunteers are the angels that continue to plant seeds of hope. We need all the help we can get, the volunteers, financial support. This is a very, very much needed help, especially at the time that we are living today. The demand is so.
Indeed, Seeds of Hope, the ministry of Tass and Karen Saada. You can find out more at hopeforishmael.org. Suzanne, closing thoughts?
I hope that our listeners will perhaps even go online if they're hearing this on the radio and hear it again. There's so much in this interview. What a transformed life. And there's so much hope for us in listening to this, I think. So I'm very encouraged by it. I think it was a wonderful opportunity to hear from him today.
Timely insights from Tass Saada. Again, hopeforishmael.org. God's timing, my friend, is indeed perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And look, if you haven't done so, hey, we believe this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to our Lord Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifeway.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. And if you'd like to help us with your financial support, to make a donation, go to thegoodlifeway.com and click Partners. I thank you in advance. Psalm 3, verse 4, I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Tass Saada, again, hopeforishmael.org. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.